Hello and welcome to Reaching More Together, a Multiplication Network podcast. I'm your host, Abby Winter, and this week, Trainer-at-Large Greg Staum talks to us about necessity of stronger churches training. He'll also tell us more about working with local leaders to contextualize training and work that's happening in the Eurasia Hub. Well, thank you for joining me today, Greg. I appreciate it.
Abby, it is awesome to be here with you, and I'm excited for our conversation.
Yeah, I think the best way to start is to learn more about you. So if you could tell us a bit about your background and how you ended up with Multiplication Network, that would be great.
Thanks, Abby. Well, the short story is, for 20 years, I was a pastor in the U.S. and served local congregations, both existing churches and new churches. Was a part of a couple of new church starts, and worked in revitalization work with two existing congregations for 20 years. And then I had the opportunity to work with about 50 churches in the Michigan, Ohio, Cleveland area on church planting and revitalization, just taking some of the gleanings from a life of ministry and helping local church pastors be heroes in their own context. Did that for 3 years, and then this wonderful invitation to be a part of Multiplication Network and to serve where I can help the organization best.
Yeah, and your family is in Grand Rapids, is that right?
Yeah, thanks. I should mention my family. That's always good. Thank you, Abby. Yeah, I have a wonderful wife, Jody. We've been married 30 years, and we've had so many great memories of ministry together, planting churches and leading existing congregations. We have three daughters, all in their 20s. So it's fun to see them transitioning in life and seeing them succeed.
Yeah.
So thanks.
That's awesome. And one of your main roles is trainer at large. So what exactly does that role entail?
I am not sure. I think it's the title they give somebody that they want to do everything.
Mm.
But no, I'm excited to play a role at Multiplication Network. And I think one of the compelling reasons that Multiplication Network exists is because there's so many places in the world that don't have a church. I remember the first time I traveled in Ukraine and in Latvia, Eastern Europe, and now many other places in the world. It just is so, it tugs at your heart to see so many places that don't have a church. It's hard for us to fathom that in the U.S., where sometimes you can, you know, throw a rock, from one church to another. But in so many places in the world, they need tens of thousands of churches. And so to answer your question, the need really needs a strategy that helps plant and revitalize tens of thousands of churches all over the world, because the need is so great. So one of our strategies is train the trainer, to train national leaders to implement a church planting strategy for their churches and whatever their goals are. And so trainer at large to me is just helping the organization implement train the trainer. Mm. Training a national leader, training a partner, training a new staff person with Multiplication Network, how to use the materials and pathways of Multiplication Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know that one aspect that you had briefly touched on was stronger churches training. So could you talk a bit more about that training specifically?
Yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, in the years that Multiplication Network has existed, we've really learned how to do training well. You know, we are really good at helping local church pastors, helping church planters to have a good training process so that they can accomplish their goals. And stronger churches, there's just there's kind of two contexts where people hunger for some good training tools. And one is a new church. Maybe it's a year old, a year and a half old. It's a little seedling, and it wants to be an oak tree. And Stronger Churches provides a second year of training for a new church start, and the leaders of that congregation, that new birth church in that context, to get a little stronger, to have more gospel impact in their community. The other context where Stronger Churches is often used is existing churches. All over the world, there's pastors and local church leaders who, by the Spirit, just have a hunger, a desire, a deep-seated desire for their congregation to more fully be the body of Christ in that community. And the Spirit's doing that work, and the pastor and the leaders want that. But we provide, I think, a really good tool and resource with our Stronger Churches material and process to help live out what the Spirit is doing in that local congregation. And I think that's important because that's where it starts, the desire of the leaders for that church to more fully be Jesus in that community. And talk a little bit about the process and that, but I think that's where it starts. There's church planters and pastors and church leaders all over the world hungering for their church to be more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those churches who go through Stronger Churches training tend to be healthier churches, right? So why is that important? Like, why is it necessary for churches to monitor their health?
Yeah, well, I think you know, we're all on a journey as a church to get healthier. There's no perfect church, but we're all following our Lord and Savior and want the incarnation. To me, is such a theological principle of what the church is. And, you know, that's where we start. What is the church? It's the body of Christ. So then what does it mean to live into that? And so it's important because this is God's design, is for His church to represent the body of Christ in a local context.
Mm-hmm. Could you maybe give some specific examples of how a church can monitor itself and become a stronger church that's proclaiming the gospel?
One thing I think is a really, really great tool that's of no charge and easy to use is Take Your Church's Pulse. It's one of our tools. Mm-hmm. We call it TYCP. So if you get on our website, you'll see TYCP right there at the top, which stands for Take Your Church's Pulse. Really simple, easy to use, online, paper tool to just do an assessment. Where are we at? How healthy are we? We use 10 characteristics of a healthy church, which is the best attempt we can make to say, what does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean to live this out in a local church community? So Take Your Church's Pulse is a great tool to start with. It's an assessment tool. But then what we encourage churches to do is to go from there into our modules. And modules are something that the Multiplication Network has been using all over the world, 70 countries. And modular training just goes something like this. You learn something, you act on what you've learned, you go out and do it, what you just learned for a month or two or whatever that interim time frame is, and then you come back together, you reflect on what happened, what the Spirit did, you report, you pray, you encourage, you celebrate, you learn something else, and it has this rhythm, modular rhythm. Month by month, you're making progress, whether that's planting a church or it's leading the church towards health through the 10 characteristics of a healthy church. And we just love that. It helps actually move the dial for church leaders towards church health. and to break it down into simple steps and to have those rhythms. And then after you've done the 12 modules, you take your church's pulse a second time and you see, wow, where we really had no, we weren't raising up new leaders, now we are. We put an action plan together in module 3 on leadership to raise up a new generation of leaders. And now we have 3 new leaders in our church that are leading groups and leading ministries. And so when we take that assessment and we answer those questions, our measurement has gone up. And so a church really gets a nice boost because they see when they take your church's pulse a second time, wow, we're doing so much better. We're so much healthier. And that can be in other categories as well. Leadership is one. Another one might be evangelism. So many churches don't have a contextual way where they're reaching into their community and sharing the good news in a incarnational way. To go through that module and to say, how is the Lord calling us to reach our community? And to actually have a way that by the Spirit, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then instead of it being a 2 on your TYCP measure, when you take it the second time, it's a 7 or it's an 8. And churches love that. They love to see the change.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really beneficial to have that document that you can go back to visualize the progress that you've made as you've done this training.
It builds so much excitement in the congregation. Mm-hmm. You see that all the hard work is paying off. And it's like, sign me up, let's do it again.
Yeah, definitely sounds great. I want to shift gears a little bit because you've also been involved with getting the Eurasia Hub established with Daniel, who is the hub director there. Could you tell us a little bit more about how that ministry started?
You know, it's been such a joy to work with Daniel Pedraza in the Eurasia Hub. It really goes back the organizational vision to be a global organization and to have hubs of countries all over the world. And John Wagenveld and the leadership of Multiplication Network said this region of the world, Ukraine, Eastern Europe, Central Asia maybe eventually, this area of the world is important, just as every area is. Mm-hmm. There's no area of the world that's not loved by God. And so it began as a prayer. How can we share our tools and materials and pathways to plant churches, to strengthen churches in this region of the world? And God attracted leaders to that vision. And Daniel Pedraza was one of them. And then country by country, leader by leader, partner by partner, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Ukraine, Romania, Poland, Belarus now. These countries have had partners within each one that were attracted to the vision. And so I got to be a part of seeing this hub grow and leaders rise up and to see churches planted and churches strengthened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that one ministry partner we work with in Eurasia is Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary. Could you talk a little bit more about that partnership in particular, as well as why ministry partnerships are necessary in general?
Yeah, that's a great example of just how the Lord attracts incredible leaders to this vision. Yaroslav Puj is the leader of the Ukraine Baptist Theological Seminary, UBTS. And they're one of our partners. And they have about 2,000 students in their seminary that are on fire for the Lord and are being equipped and trained for ministry there in Ukraine. We're super, super excited to have them as a partner. And Yaroslav, their leader, is an incredible leader. And he's attracted to our vision. and loves our tools and likes our pathway. And so there are leaders at this seminary that are implementing that. We've done train the trainer with them, and they are implementing a national strategy for Ukraine. So an example would be one of the leaders of the seminary, his name's Alex. He's in charge of church health in Ukraine. Real challenge right now because of the war. Mm-hmm. Churches need help. And he's a great leader. He is implementing stronger churches with 40 pastors. They're all over Ukraine, like salt, in different cities and towns. And the idea is once they've implemented it with their local church, they will be regional trainers. So they've got a vision to implement all of Ukraine, in all of Ukraine, stronger churches by training leaders in every region of the country. So they're a great partner. They're very strategic. They're very passionate. And they have a lot of students that are going to make a difference in Ukraine. I'm very hopeful because of the young people that are being trained there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely sounds like ministry partnerships are really essential because they contextualize the training for the region that they're in, and they're able to better implement it and better strengthen the churches.
That's so true and so well said. They know the language, they know the challenges, they know the need, and they are going to be the ones that implement the process.
Mm-hmm. So with all of the work that you've done with Multiplication Network in these roles, what are some blessings and challenges that you've faced during your time here?
You know, one, thanks Abby for asking that question. And, you know, our hub includes, the Eurasia Hub includes Ukraine. Mm. And I have friends going back 6 years in both countries. And, you know, when you say the word challenge, I just say heartbreak, you know. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, not only the work we're doing is challenged by this, and we believe in faith that this will become, as only God can do, an opportunity in as we go forward, but the heartbreaking part is just to have friends on two sides of a war and to see people that are my friends, people I've done trainings with, that instead of holding a guitar and leading people in worship, they're holding weapons of war and serving on the front lines in Ukraine. So those are some of the heartaches I'm feeling right now. And all of us in the Eurasia Hub and all of us at Multiplication Network are, it's personal. We're deeply connected to this war. Some blessings, wow, you know, you can't count them all. It's just a joy to see local church planters, local couples that rise up and say, in that community over there that doesn't have a church, I wanna see a church there. I wanna be used by God. And to see the tools and the process help them actually plant a church, and then to hear the stories of lives being impacted. There's nothing better we can do. You know, for generations to come, that community will it be impacted. It's such a significant, beautiful thing we're doing together. Mm-hmm. I met a guy named Constantine, and Constantine was a drug addict, and a church planter was walking through the park one day. And he saw Constantine laying on the bench, passed out from the drugs that were flowing through his veins. And he went over there. His name, the church planter, was Dima. And he put his hand on Constantine. And he said, God loves you. And he prayed over him. And he touched him as he sat there. And I'm hearing this story told by Constantine in a church service. And Constantine shares how he experienced God in that prayer and in that touch. And when he kind of came out of his drug-induced state, he went to find Dima And he asked around, and eventually he found the church that Dima was planting. And he asked if the pastor was there, or the person who had prayed with him. And Dima had actually left for more theological training. And so Constantine decides, well, I'm just going to stay here and wait for him. And so he sleeps under a tree for two nights, waiting for Dima to come back. And as he's telling the story, he's actually pointing out the window of the church where he was sleeping. Dima comes back, and they embrace, and Dima shares Jesus with him. He becomes a believer. That church community had a, by God's providence, a ministry, an evangelism ministry of drug addiction recovery. And so in the attic of this church are like 10 beds where the church helped drug addicts recover. And so Constantine not only becomes a believer, but he comes freed from his addiction. And the thing I'll never forget is I took home with me some profiles and ABC reports that church planters do as a part of their reporting. And I get back into the U.S. and there's a profile with the name Constantine at the top. And now Constantine wanted to be trained to go walk in the park and put his hand on people and share the love of Jesus in a community that didn't have a church. And that just touched me so much to see how the Lord continues to raise up church planters, especially those who have, you know, in an incredible way received his grace.
That's so cool to
hear. Isn't that a great story?
It is. So I think we are getting ready to wrap up, but I just wanted to ask if there was anything else that you wanted to mention that I perhaps didn't ask you in this interview.
You know, one thing I'm super excited about is our Take Your Church's Pulse online. Mm-hmm. I feel like that globally is going to put that tool to anybody's hand who has a smartphone. Paper will still be used by many, but we eventually, by the end of this year, we'll have 12 languages. Currently we have 5, we're working on 7 more languages. So all over the world, people can use the Take Your Church's Pulse tool online. Pastor just has to register, and then he sends the link to his leaders and his congregation, whoever's going to participate. And I'm just so excited about that. And then when you take it a second time, Take Your Church's Pulse, the tool automatically generates some graphs and some charts, so you can visually see how the church health has improved. So I personally right now have been working hard on Take Your Church's Pulse online and making sure we have a language so that everybody in the world can use this tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look forward to seeing that more accessible in other places.
Yeah, that's, we just want to help local churches. And whatever we can do to make them be the heroes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me again. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you for listening and for supporting Multiplication Network through your gifts and prayers. If so led, we encourage you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You can also visit our website, multiplicationnetwork.org, to learn more about becoming a monthly multiplier, read testimonies from church planters around the world, sign up for our monthly newsletter, and more. For Reaching More Together, I'm Abby Winter.